105. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez,
99.3.
He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mom, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi. This is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we just thank you, Lord, once again for this precious opportunity, my Father, that we, your people, my Father, all of those who are under the sound of my voice, who have tuned in to this broadcast, this radio broadcast, Father, can come all the way into your presence, my Father, through your royal protocol, my Father, and obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our times of need, Father. As we take you up on that invitation, my Father, we just do exactly what you said. We come through the gates of thanksgiving, through the courts of praise, through the holy place, all the way behind the veil into the holiest of holies. That's your presence, my Father. So that we could feast at the King's table, Lord, and just hear from you, Lord God. So, Father, here we are, your children, who are washed in the blood of the Lamb, my Father, cleansed. Even though our sins are like scarlet, you have washed us white as snow so that we can, Lord, through your protocol, come all the way into your very presence, my Father, once again, to obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So here we are, my Father. Now here's our lives. Here's our cup. Our hearts, our souls, our bodies, our every being, our every part of our being. We lift it up to you, Father. And we ask, Lord, that you fill us up with the knowledge of your will, with our wisdom and spiritual understanding, my Father. Hallelujah. Our wisdom and knowledge and spiritual understanding, my Father. So that we might know you, Jesus Christ, who you sent, and the power that's available to all of us, Lord, through his resurrection, by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now speak, Lord, to our hearts as we humble ourselves in your mighty hand. And as in always, Father, we're careful to give you all of the credit, all of the honor, all of the praise. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Now, Lord, let your kingdom come in our lives here on earth, so that your will can begin to be done here in our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven. Once again, Father, we say, give us this day our daily bread, everything that we have need of, Father. And again, we give you all of the credit, all of the honor, and all of the praise. In the precious name of Jesus, amen, amen, and so shall it be. Praise the Lord. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Well, I like saying that to y'all. Boy, I'm talking about, boy, I wish you could see the big old smile that come up on my face every time, boy, I say that. Every time I say, hey, mighty men and mighty women, boy, it look like men. The more I say that, boy, the more I realize and come to the realization, boy, just how mighty we really are. Hallelujah. With the might of God, with the mighty power of the Holy Ghost, abiding and resting in the, on the inside of us. how much might and how much power you think it took to raise Jesus Christ from the dead and set him at the right hand of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Boy, that's some power there, huh? How much power you think it took to sling this whole universe, man, and all creation into existence? Boy, that took some power, huh? Hallelujah. Boy, that's the power of the Holy Ghost. And boy, that same power and that same Holy Ghost and the power of that Holy Ghost is residing on the inside of every last one of us. You know the very fact that the Holy Ghost dwells in us, yeah, is plain and simple to me, but it is an indication that you are as righteous as you're ever going to be. Do you know that the Holy Spirit cannot live in unclean vessels, in unclean temples? So the very fact that, boy, you have received the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, boy, that proved to show you, the Bible say, boy, it's a seal of guarantee. That proved to show you, man, that, boy, he who knew no sin, talking about Jesus Christ. That's in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God made him to be sin so that you and I might be made the righteousness of God that's in Christ Jesus. For this reason, that we might go into all the world and reconcile man back unto God, letting them know that God was in Christ Jesus, man, reconciling the world back unto himself, not imputing our trespasses against us. And as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's moved our transgression and our sins from us. Boy, that's God's doing, boy. What he did, man, he cleansed us from all our unrighteousness. He made us accepted in the beloved. He washed us in the blood of the Lamb, his Lamb. He provided a sacrifice for us. He saved us. He healed us. He delivered us. He provides for us. He's our Father. He's our source. He's our sustainer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the very fact that, boy, you have the Holy Ghost dwelling on the inside of you is an indication that you are as righteous as you are ever going to be, and you are as holy as you are ever going to be. The Bible just didn't say you have to do something to be holy. The Bible says, be holy, for the Lord your God is holy. It didn't say do this and do that and do this and do that, and you will become more and more holy. No, he just say, be who you are. He say, be holy. Why? Because the Lord your God is holy. What are you telling you? To be like your Father. To take on the same character and same nature as your source and your sustainer. Be like him in character and in nature. And function the way he functions. Live the way he lives. Act the way he acts. Talk the way he talks. Walk the way he walks. Be like him in character and nature and in likeness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And boy, to do that, it takes a mighty man and a mighty woman of the Most High God. And boy, I read to you many times in the book of Romans chapter 82. It says, boy, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty and judges amongst the gods. Listen, boy, that word judgment there means he give righteous judgment. He give righteous judgment to all mankind. Do you know, boy, you got a right to be saved? You got a right to be healed? You got a right to be delivered? You got a right to be forgiven? You got a right to receive, man, all of the blessing that God, boy, blessed us with, man, in Genesis chapter 1? You know that you have a right, man, to your inheritance, man, all of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for us before the foundation of the world? You have a right to that. Hallelujah. And when you judge amongst the gods, when you give righteous judgments, man, to who? The mighty and the little g God. Who are that? That's all God's children. That's all of us, boy, who have received, man, Jesus Christ into our life, man, and we have been born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb. And, boy, I call ourselves, man, children and sons and daughters of the Most High God. And as a result of that, boy, you got a right to everything that God has done for us through his son, Jesus Christ. Why? What you mean by that, Arthur? Do you know that it was by one man's disobedience? Just talking about Adam. It's by one man's transgression of the law that, boy, sin and death came upon all mankind. Let me make that plain and simple what it means there in the book of Romans chapter 5. It says, through one man's disobedience, sin came upon the whole human race. And through the obedience of one man, Jesus Christ, and the forgiveness of sin came upon the whole human race. For you and I being born in sin and saved in iniquity, that wasn't nothing that we did. That was what Adam did that caused you and I to be born separated from God. It was because of Adam's disobedience. That boy, I was made a sinner, that I was born a sinner. And one day I told God, I said, Lord, that don't seem fair. You mean to tell me all the hell that's going on the earth today, man, is because of what Adam did? And because of what Adam did, all of us was born separated from you, Lord, and our sins, man, and all that we going through in this life is not based upon nothing that we did, but what Adam did? The Lord said, yes. I said, well, Lord, that don't seem fair to the rest of humanity, that because of one man's failure to obey your commands, man, then, man, that made all of us failures. And God said, that's right. That's why I come to give righteous judgment. Hallelujah. Why? Because in the same way, through that one man's disobedience, many of you were made sinners. Even so, by the obedience of another man, Jesus Christ, many of you have been made righteous. Just like Adam's sin, man, caused you to be born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and Jesus Christ's obedience caused you to be born again and shaped in righteousness and holiness. Hallelujah. Shaped in the image and likeness of the Most High God. So, boy, when he come to render judgment, he come to render a righteous judgment. He come, boy, to cleanse us up from all of the sin and shame that we were born in because of Adam's disobedience. And then restore back to us everything that Adam's disobedience caused all of us to lose. What was that, boy? Lose our righteousness. Lose our peace. Lose our joy. Lose our sovereignty. Our dominion. Our royal power. The power of the Holy Ghost. To lose the presence of the Lord. To lose, boy, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, man, living on the inside of all of us. Through that one man disobedience, we lost all of that. Adam's disobedience. Even so, by the obedience of Jesus Christ, have all that been regained, and not only regained, but restored back to us. Glory to God. Boy. Hallelujah. What we said it last week on the broadcast, boy, we serve a mighty God. We who are mighty men and mighty women, we serve a mighty God, boy. This mighty God has done great things, hallelujah. What great things has he done? He's redeemed our life from destruction. He's crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercy so that even our youth is renewed like the day by day by day. That old man who was born in sin and shaped in iniquity is dying day by day by day. That new man that's created in Christ Jesus, boy, is being made alive day by day by day. Again, while the old man is perishing, the new man is being renewed every day. What's going on? What you saying? Or the book of Corinthians says this here, boy. As we look into that perfect law of liberty, boy, we are going from glory to glory to glory to glory. What you mean? Boy, we start becoming on a daily basis who God created us to be. We start having, boy, on a daily basis what God created us to have. And, boy, we start living on a daily basis the way God created us to live. And he created us to live in his presence. Hallelujah. In his presence. That's how he created us to live, in his presence. That's why, boy, when he created you and I, listen, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians that thanks be unto God who chose us in him. And like I told you, this ain't nothing we doing. This is what God doing. The kingdom of heaven is simply the kingdom of God. It's simply what God is doing. And when we men come to the knowledge of what God is doing and then get in on that, then we cease from our works and we enter into his work. And his work, what he begun, boy, his work is a completed work. And boy, when we get in on his work, then we just start becoming who God created us to be. We start having what God created us to have. We start living the way God created us to live. You know how God created us to live? He He created us to live, boy, in heaven, on earth. That was his original intent, to extend, boy, his the governing influence of his territory, the heaven, the culture of his territory, heaven, the lifestyle of his territory, heaven. Boy, his original intent was to extend that to a foreign territory that he created, man, called the earth, that he gave to mankind. That's you and I and everybody that live upon the face of the earth. What was God doing, boy? That's the kingdom of God. Establishing, boy, his kingdom in a foreign territory that he created, called the earth, that he gave to all of us, to mankind. For this purpose, why? So that through us, who God, the Father God, the Creator, the Elohim, and the source and sustainer, the Father God, may establish, boy, his kingdom in our territory here on the earth. His plan of doing that is through his family of sons. He's going to rule through us. His strategy for accomplishing that was, boy, to create a body from the dust of the ground, from the earth, and then bring us down to the earth, and then release on the inside of that body, boy, you and I, who are there, spirit beings, just like God, mighty men and mighty women, spirit beings, just like God, created in his image and his likeness, spiritual, with the same life of God, the Zoe life of God, the same ingredients that's on the inside of God's life, on the inside of our life, our spirit, that God kind of life, Zoe life, life, man, in the absolute sense, life the way God lives and life the way God originally intended for us to live. And boy, he breathed on the inside of that nostril. He released, when he breathed on the inside of that physical body that he formed from the dust of the ground, when he breathed on the inside of that body, he released man's spirit. That part of you that was in God, man, before the foundation of the world. That part of you that's created in the image and likeness of God. That life form. He released that on the inside of our physical body, on the physical body of the dark race that he created called Adam, or Adam. So Adam was a triune being, a spirit being that comes from the presence of the Most High God with an own mind, an own will, our own emotions, our own person, our own personality, your own, yourself. That's your soul. Hallelujah. Living in a physical body. A spirit that possesses a soul that lives in a physical body. And then God, man, made some commandments, gave some commandments. He said, now, first thing he said, after he did that and breathed into his nostrils and breath of life, the Bible saying, God blessed them. Listen, that word blessed means God empowered them or put on the inside of all of us all the potential that we ever going to need to be all that God created us to be. That's potential, the potential of God. That's what it meant when it say, and God say, let's make man in our image, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And so God created us in his image. In his image created he them. Male and female created he them. And the next thing say, and the Bible say, and God blessed them. Hallelujah. And then commanded them to be fruitful and multiply and subdue and make the whole earth, man, just like it is in heaven. That's a commandment. That's a commandment of God. The Bible called it, boy, the law of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What was God doing? Extending his territory, the culture of his territory, the governing influence of his territory to the territory that he gave you and I, called the earth, for a purpose, that through us, he might govern his governing authority of his territory on the seen earth. The unseen ruling the seen from the unseen through his seen children called mankind that he placed upon this earth. So what is that? That's God establishing, boy, his kingdom on the earth through his children by the power of the Holy Ghost, boy. Hallelujah. That's what God's doing. That's his original intent and plan and purpose and destiny for our lives, so that it might be in our lives here on earth just like it is in heaven. What are you talking about, Arthur? I'm talking about the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? What God is doing and his ways of doing what he is doing. Hallelujah. That's the kingdom of God. And when we discover that and come to the knowledge of that and get in on that, then, boy, I'm talking about the kingdom of heaven is lifestyle, is culture, is nature, is impact, is influence, boy, can begin to start, boy, reestablishing itself on the earth. What can begin to start reestablishing itself up on the earth? Day by day by day, moment by moment by moment, going from glory to glory to glory to glory until we reach the fullness of the manifest, the full manifestation of everything, boy, that God decreed and declared over our lives in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 when he began to speak. That was already in his heart and in his mind before the foundation of the world. The Bible calls that his precepts, his original idea. Even before it came into manifestation, boy, it was an idea. And then when he spoke, it became an expression of that idea. It became a logos, an express thought that was in the mind of God, God, before the foundation of the world. That's why I say, we don't choose God. God chose us. Hallelujah. And he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. We was an idea that came from God that was inspired, boy, by his original son, boy. We know him as Jesus Christ, boy. In the old way, he was known as wisdom, the wisdom of God, the word of God. Hallelujah. And, boy, God was so pleased with that son, boy, till he said, I want me a whole bunch of sons just like that one. So that original son would inspire God to create, boy, all the rest of us. Hallelujah. And he created all the rest of us through his original son, through his word. In the beginning, the Bible says in St. John, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. And in him who, the word, Jesus, was life. What life are you talking about? I'm talking about that Zoe life, that God kind of life. Life the way God lives and life the way God originally intended for you and I to live. And boy, listen, the Bible says he came to his own. And his own. Listen, please say, all things was made by him. Who? Boy, this word, Jesus. All things was made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. That's Zoe life. That's not just human life or natural life. That's the life the way God lives, the life of God. Can you imagine that kind of life? Hallelujah. That's the life, boy, that God created you and I to live, that God kind of life. Hallelujah. So he breathed on the inside of that body, like I told you, boy, the breath of life. And that body, mankind, became a living soul, a spirit that has a soul. That's your mind. That's your heart. That's your will. That's your emotions. Hallelujah. And you live in a physical body. For what purpose, Arthur? So that you can dominate this physical earth. For what reason, Arthur? So that, boy, through you, God can establish once again his governing influence, the governing influence of his territory on the earth, on our earth, and packing it with his will, his intent, his desire, and his original purpose, which is, boy, that it might be in our territory just like it is in his territory. In other words, boy, it was, boy, earth becoming a colony of heaven. Hallelujah. What? A colony of heaven. What's a colony, boy? When men, the same thing that's going on in the territory that colonized it, be going on in the territory that is colonized. So it might be in our life here on earth, just like it is, boy, in him, the territory that we come from, the territory that we originated from. You know you originated from God. That's where you originally come from. What did Ephesians say again? Thanks be unto God who chose us in him. Where is he? He's in heaven. Hallelujah. And he's going to rule the earth without even coming to heaven. So his strategy for doing that, his plan and strategy for doing that is to do it through us, his family of sons. And his strategy for accomplishing that was to empower us and indwell us more with his presence in the person of the Holy Spirit. That's a divine connection between God and man and between heaven and earth. That's the connection. What? The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's all the ability of God. That's all of the might of God. That's all of the authority of God. That's all of the life of God, all of the essence of God, all of the character and nature of God, boy. All that God is, boy, is in the person of his Holy Spirit. And, boy, God breathed that Holy Spirit on the inside of our spirit. And then, boy, he breathed that who? The spirit of man that's created in the image and likeness of God with the Holy Spirit living in that spirit. And, boy, he put that on the inside of a physical body. And then he said, God bless them. And then gave them, boy, our mandate. Where would they be fruitful? Be productive. Accomplish everything that I decreed and declared that you accomplish. And then multiply. I mean, boy, produce a whole lot of y'all that will accomplish, man, my will and my intent and my purpose for your life. Then subdue this earth, man. Manage it, control it, govern it. Have sovereign reign over it. Have kingship over it. I place upon you not just a turban and a priestly garment, but I place upon you a crown. That's what the word when he said God, and God said, let them have dominion. That's kingship. Over what? Over the territory he gave us. So that we can impact it with God's will and God's intent and God's purpose and God's desire. Hallelujah. Boy, let me tell you something, man. God started that, and God set that up, and God began mankind on his journey of becoming everything that God, boy, originally desired, intended, and planned, and purposed for him to become, boy. Just like him, in his image, and in his likeness, ruling and reigning over every circumstance, situation, and symptom in our lives here on the earth, just like God ruling and reigning over every circumstance, situation, symptom, and his life in hell. Hallelujah. That's God's original intent. That's God's original desire. That's God's original purpose. That's what God set out to accomplish, boy. Even before the foundation of the world, even before it even started. That's why many times I read to you on these broadcasts, boy, in Isaiah 46, man, they say, fix this in your heart. I'm God, and there's none like me. I declare the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. In fact, I need to be able to read that to you, you know, so that you can see something in there that I believe that God wants you to see. So let me just turn there, and I want to read the scripture to you. Listen to what Isaiah say in Isaiah 46. I read it over again, but sometimes, you know, what we do is plant the seed, and then we come back and put water on that seed so that that seed can grow. What's the seed? The incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of God's word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Watch what the seed of God's word is saying to you today in Isaiah chapter 46. It says, remember this and show yourself, Isaiah 46 verse 8. Remember this and show yourself mean. Bring again to mind, O you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. I declare the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Hallelujah. What do you say, boy? I declare the end from the beginning. In other words, I finish first, and then I start. I finish first, and then I set the destination, and then I back all the way back up, man. And start at go back to the starting line. And then I already set the destination. Then I say, on your mark, get set, go. That's what God did. He set the end first. He set the destination first. He set the finish mark first. That's in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 31. That's the finish mark. What? Let's create man in our image and our likeness. The Bible says, so God created man in his image and his likeness. In his image created he them. Male and female created. That's past. It's done. He's finished. He's finished. And then he back all the way back up, man, and start mankind off at the starting line. On the body, from the ground, placed him in the body, then set him on course toward that destination. But be in my image and be in my life. Rule and reign and have dominion and authority forever and ever and ever and ever. Then he say, on your mark, get set, go. And boy, Adam started off on his way. Hallelujah. And that's how God started him off. He planted a garden in Eden. In the book, if you go into a little bit of detail in Genesis chapter 2 of Genesis chapter 1. Hallelujah. You go into a little bit of detail. They say, well, God formed man's body from the dust of the ground, like we've been talking about. And then he came down and placed on the inside of that body the spirit of the little G God that created in the image and likeness of God, and with the Holy Ghost living in that spirit being, and placed it in a physical body on the earth. And then he say, on your mark, get set, go, and started mankind off on his eternal destination. Well, making it on earth just like it is in heaven. So it might be that way forever and ever and ever and ever. And Adam then started off on their way. And after he formed their body and put them in that way, then it didn't start there. You say, and God planted a garden in Eden. Notice, he didn't trust man to find there. He didn't trust man to plant there. He planted there. And there, the Bible says, there he placed the man. So he placed the man in a spot for the moment in the presence of the Most High God. He planted a garden. That's a spot on the earth for a moment where the literal presence of God was, the atmosphere and the environment in that spot for the moment that comes from the literal presence of the Lord. Can you imagine what kind of atmosphere and an environment that is in the literal presence of the Lord? Hallelujah. With an open door into a delightful place. That's Eden. What an atmosphere and an environment that's created by the literal presence of the Most High God with an open door into a delightful place. What's that delightful place? The kingdom of hell. Hallelujah. What's that open door? That's Jesus, boy, the Christ. Hallelujah. What's that presence? That's the presence of the Most High God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. When? For a moment. Well, on a spot on the earth. With what intention? For man to be fruitful. That means, man, I'm talking about, boy, produce a whole lot of fruit. Produce a whole lot of man offspring that's created in the image and likeness of God. From that spot, from that place, from that presence, which is an open door into, boy, all of the kingdom of hell. That's Eden. It's not a geographical location. It's an environment and an atmosphere that comes from the literal presence of the Most High God with an open door into the boy, the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Hallelujah. So what I said, I ought to say this. And so when God set that up on the earth, and let me tell you something. He set it up, and he set it up, boy, with laws. And he gave mankind laws to govern that place. God is a God of laws. Most believers, especially in Christianity, you know, even under the when I be saying, you know, Christian and everything else like that in a negative way, I'm not talking about, boy, your Christian people. I'm talking about, boy, the Christian. I'll be talking about the Christian religion, not the Christian people. The Christian religion has bordered, man, the Christian people all the way down, man, to a religious organization instead of, man, being Christ-like. And through that religious organization, then we try to show the world and all the other religious organizations, man, we try to show them the Christians of the Christ. When that's not how God designed it to be. God designed it for us to not to show them the Christians of the Christ, but to show this world the Christ of the Christians. I'm going to say that one more time, in case you missed it. And listen, through the Christian religion, we try to display to the rest of the world and all the other religions, the Christians of the Christ. But through what true and real Christianity is, kingdom Christian, we all know the world, man, the Christians of the Christ. We show the world of Christ of the Christians. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when you're showing the world of the Christians of the Christ, then you compete with all the other religions. But when you show the world the Christ of the Christians, ain't no competition there, buddy. Jesus Christ ain't no prophet. Hallelujah. Jesus, they ask him, Lord, who do men say that I am? And they start quoting. Well, some say you're this prophet, some say you're that prophet, some say you're Jeremiah, that's a prophet, some say you're Ezekiel, that's a prophet. And Jesus Christ said, who do you say I am? And boy, Peter got a revelation, man, by the Holy Spirit that come from God. And Peter said this here, boy, listen, man, you ain't no prophet. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are that anointed king that, boy, they have been prophesied, that the prophets prophesied about. You ain't no prophet, man. The prophet spoke for God. You are God, baby. Hallelujah. What the hell? The prophet spoke on God's behalf. Hey, you're not a prophet. You ain't speaking on God's behalf. You are God. That's God speaking himself. The Bible say, boy, in Hebrews, in time past, and through different various ways and different ages, man, God spoke to us through the law and the prophets, through the prophets and the law. But in his last days, man, he don't want to speak to you through no prophet. He want to speak to you himself. He used prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers and the fivefold ministry what to edify men, the saints. So for what purpose, Arthur? So they could go through more the holy place where they can, man, eat from the servant table from what mankind say, all the way into the presence of the Most High God, boy, so that they could hear what God has to say to them, they sell. The purpose for the fivefold ministry is to develop the saints, boy, into that kind of relationship with God. So there don't meet no need for it to be taught by man, but, boy, that Holy Spirit that's on the inside of every last one of us begin to teach us and give us the revelation, man, to who we really are. That's why I say everything that God's doing, his strategy for doing it, is by the power of the Holy Ghost. And when Adam, man, disobeyed God, man, and rebelled against God, then Adam lost that divine connection. He lost the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, left out of his spirit. And his spirit became separated from God. That's death. That's the first death. What's that? That's spiritual death. What's spiritual death? Separation from God. And when they got separated from God and got separated from the presence of God, got put out of that spot for the moment that was on the earth where the presence of the Lord was, with an open door into all of the lifestyle and the culture of heaven, they got put out of that place. And when they got put out of that place, man, they lost. Then they lost the divine connection between God and man and between heaven and earth. And instead of boy, mankind, man, getting to the finish line, mankind failed. He got tripped. He got deceived. And, man, he got off course toward the destination, man, that God has for his life. But, boy, God, boy, let me tell you something, man. What God said in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, can't nothing alter that. Can't nothing alter the word that had gone forth out of his mouth. Nothing. If he said it, he gonna do it. If he didn't spoke it, it got to come to pass. It can't return to him void. The Bible says now the word that is going out of his mouth shall return unto him void. But it will accomplish, boy, what his intended purpose was. So God spoke that in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And man, let me tell you something. He's a God of laws. In those chapters, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, God set up, boy, some spiritual laws that superseded the laws that he gave Moses. That was way before the law that he gave Moses. He didn't give Moses the laws, man, until, boy, 2,000 years later, after mankind had fallen, man, from, boy, God's intent and plan and purpose for his life. Then through Moses, man, God gave the people, boy, prophecy and the law. The prophecy was but a fulfillment of a promise that he made to the devil and to Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3 after they failed. What he promised that devil, he said, I promise you, the seed of that woman, the same woman who you deceived, she's going to have a child. And through that, through her, boy, a child going to come into this earth through her, and that child going to bruise your head. The word head there means authority. He's going to take back all the authority that you've been robbed and deceived and stole from them. He's going to take that authority back, and he's going to grind your head in the ground, and he's going to regain that authority that you took from them, and he's going to restore it back to them. And not only is he going to restore their authority and their identity and their purpose and their potential and their destination back to them, but boy, he called up about somebody say, what do you say? He's going to, boy, listen, restore them back into their place, that spot that was on the earth for a moment, where the literal presence of the Lord, the atmosphere and the environment, with an open door, that's Jesus Christ, into the delightful place. What's that? All of the kingdom of heaven. Listen, God gave mankind some laws to live by. The first law was the law of life in those first two chapters. What's the law of life? Well, what the king said. His word is life. Like I say, he can't alter the word that going forth out of his mouth. If he said it, he going to do it. If he spoke it, he got to come to pass. So when he said that about you and I being his image and his likeness, man, that's the law of life. Hallelujah. Where the life is, the life is in his word. What life is that? That's the Zoe life, the life of God, life the way God lives and life the way God intended for you and I to live. So God, boy, this man, gave mankind the law of life, what? Be in my image and be in my likeness. Be just like me. Live like me, talk like me, walk like me. Be just like me in character and nature. Don't try to be that independent of me. Because if you do, then you're going to separate yourself from me and you're going to die and you're going to get put out of this place. And it's impossible for you to be everything that I command you to be outside of the place that I commanded you to be it from, which is Eden. Right. That spot. What spot is that? Wherever you are. Whatever moment you are in that spot. Carrying the presence of the Lord with you. Wherever spot you might go on the face of the earth. With an open door in your life. In the presence of the Lord. On whatever spot you on for that moment. With an open door, boy, into all of the kingdom of hell. That's the law of life. Hallelujah. God spoke that. And can't nothing alter that. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, there's another law. Hallelujah. It's called, boy, the law of liberty. The perfect law of liberty. When God created them, he told them this. He said, listen, you can eat off all the trees in the garden. I give you liberty. I give you free will. I give you free reign. I give you the free choice. I give you the liberty to choose life or to choose death, to choose blessing or to choose the curse. That's liberty. That's a perfect law. That's a law in the kingdom. Freedom. Free. He said, you can eat off any tree in the garden. He placed all the trees in the garden, where the tree of righteousness, the tree of peace, the tree of health, the tree of fulfillment of life, the tree of fulfillment of purpose and destiny, the tree of every tree, all the trees that pertain, all the fruit that pertains to life and godliness, life the way God lived and life the way God intended for us to live, he planted all those trees on and told the man, you can eat off of any of all the trees. And in the middle of the garden, he had two other trees called the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know the story. What's the tree of life? Boy, that would be obedient to what God said. Eat off that tree. Hey, just eat off, boy. Just maintain, man, and stay obedient to what God say. What? Be in my image and be in my likeness and rule and reign over the territory and make it in your territory just like it is in my territory. Eat off that tree. That's the tree of life. Hallelujah. And he gave mankind freedom. He said, you can eat off all the trees. He said, you can even eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then he gave another law. We know it as a law of sin and death. He said, you can, after he gave man the law of life, be in my image and be in my light, then he gave him the liberty. You can choose to be that way, or you can choose, man, to rebel against that way. It's your choice. Then he said, here's another law. If you eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, if you choose to declare independence from me, if you try to be a God in and of yourself, then you're going to surely die. You're going to separate yourself from this place. You're going to separate yourself from my presence. You're going to separate yourself from that open door. You're going to separate yourself from that delightful place, the kingdom of heaven. You're going to separate yourself from the Holy Spirit. And you're going to be without hope in the earth. That's the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. You know what Adam did, man. Instead of Adam, them, man, eating out the tree of life and all the other trees in the garden, man, he had a minimum test. No, he went and ate off the tree of sin and death, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what he did, he rebelled against the known will of God. God gave him liberty, and God told him, man, about the tree of life and the tree of sin and death. And he told him, man, you can eat out the tree of life and live forever, or you eat out the tree of the sin and death, and you're going to die. You're going to separate yourself from me. What they did, they ate out the tree, man, of the knowledge of good and evil. So, man, listen, sin came and death reigned. Well, what's sin? Transgression of God's law, to rebel against God, to declare independence from God. That's a law in the kingdom called a law of sin and death. You know what happened? Adam them sinned and Adam them died. They got separated from God. There's another law in the kingdom of God. After they sinned against God and rebelled against God and man introduced boy and was introduced to the law of sin and death, they sinned and they died spiritually, separated from God. Then God boy produced another law in the kingdom. Boy, when they separated themselves from God, you know what happened, man. And they was naked. It wasn't clothed in the righteousness of God no more, in the holiness of God no more. Boy, this here, they was ashamed, and they was afraid, and they was hiding. And God come looking for them. Not that he didn't know what he was, but that's the indication, man, that let me tell you something, boy. If God lose something, boy, God going to come find it. He said, if I got a 100 sheep and one stray away, I'm going to leave the 99 and go find that one. Because my counsel going to stand. So God come looking for them, man. And boy, when he found them, he found them dead and trespassing and sin, separated from God, naked and without hope of ever being able to redeem themselves from that law of sin and death. But God, in his grace and his mercy and his love, wherewith he loved us with, that even man, when Adam was in his sin, hallelujah, even when we were dead in trespass and sin, God himself killed an animal, a life, a blood sacrifice, and took boy the covering of that animal, the wool of that lamb, And man, God covered them, man, with a blood sacrifice, a life for a life. It was God that closed them. It was God that boy showed his grace and mercy, man, even back then. It was God, man, that provided, man, an atonement for them, salvation for them. And it was all because of what? Of God's love for his children. Listen, God don't have love. God is love. He don't have the stuff. He is love. That's a law, boy, in the kingdom of God, called a royal law of the kingdom, the law of love, the agape love, the love of God, the love that God has for his children, even while we were dead in trespass and sin. What the Bible say in John 3, verse 16? God so loved the pattern of arrangement, the system, the world that he set up on the earth. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, before Adam and Eve disobeyed God, God so loved that original arrangement and pattern of operation and system that he set up. That world, he loved that world so much, boy, that he came himself in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, boy, and reestablished that world back up on this earth, cleansed you and I up through his death on the cross, boy, and taught us, man, the will of God, the original will and purpose of God for our lives through his preaching and his teaching and his acts up on the earth, man. And he called out my son. What's all that? Boy, that's the royal law of love. That in spite of our faults and mistakes, God looked past our need, looked past all our faults and mistakes, and saw our need. What was that need? To be loved unconditionally. And that's the love that God loved us with. Hallelujah. That's a law in the kingdom. That's in Genesis, the first two chapters. What's the law in those kingdoms? The law of life. The perfect law of liberty. You can eat off any tree. The law of sin and death. If you eat out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're going to surely separate yourself from me. The law of love. Even though you didn't separate yourself from me, yet I ain't never going to leave you, and I ain't never going to forsake you. I can't be with you like I was in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 where I was dwelling in you. I can't live in you no more. The Holy Spirit can't live in you no more because we can't live in no unclean temple. If we did, your body would blow up. But we can't live in that. I promise you something, God said. I ain't never going to leave you. And I ain't never going to forsake you. Even in your sins, I ain't going to be in you no more, but I'm going to be around you. Hallelujah. I ain't going to never leave. I ain't going to never forsake you. And because I ain't never going to leave you and never going to forsake you, I'm going to be a very present help in your time of trouble and in your time of need. And when you call upon me, I'm going to answer you. Hallelujah. And I'm going to be with you, man. And I'm going to, man, provide atonement and sacrifice for you so that I can continue to, even though I can't be in you no more, I can continue to be around you until I can fix everything up. And after I fix everything up, boy, then I'm going to get back, man, not just around you and with you, but I'm going to be able to come and dwell once again back on the inside of you. You and me and you, one. Boy, that's this. That's God's love that disgrace. And boy, the fifth law is the law of promise. What I just got to tell you, God said, I promise you something. What? I ain't going to leave you. I ain't going to leave you in this despair. I ain't going to leave you without hope. I ain't going to leave you dead in your trespasses and sin and without hope. He said, I promise you something. What? That I'm going to come for myself in the person of my son, and I'm going to redeem your life from this destruction that Adam sold you into. I'm going to redeem your life from that destruction, and I'm going to regain everything that you lost, and then I'm going to restore everything that you lost back to you. I promise you that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's the law of promise. I promise you, boy, that I'm coming. Hallelujah. So they start prophesying all down through the Old Testament, man. Boy, that's coming the Messiah. That's coming the king, boy. That's going to reestablish, boy, God's kingdom back up on this earth, man. It's going to be like the kingdom of David, man. And, boy, he's going to reign on that kingdom forever and ever and ever. And, boy, what God had started off in Genesis chapter 1, boy, God's going to get us back on course toward that, and God's going to finish what he started. You know the Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, you know, that's a scripture that we all know. What? He who have begun a good work on the inside of us, he's going to complete that. Listen, I don't care what it looked like, what it seemed like, what the devil did, what man did, what Adam did, what you did, I did, and he did, she did. It don't matter what nobody else did, man. The law of life that's in Christ Jesus, that's in his word, that's going to stand forever. Everything else going to pass away. Boy, even this atmosphere in this heaven that we live in now, and this earth the way we live in it here now, all that's going to pass away. But the word of the law of life, that's going to abide forever. And even though mankind lost that life, God made a promise to him, boy, in Genesis chapter 3, boy, through the seed of that woman, that he was going to come himself, redeem our life from that destruction, regain everything that we lost because of that destruction, and not only regain everything, redeem our life and regain everything that we lost, but restore it all back to us. That's a law in the kingdom, the law of promise. The sixth law in the kingdom was, boy, the law of faith. How we live this kind of life, man, and receive these promises of God and the love of God and the redemption from sin and death and the law of liberty to eat out the tree of life once again, to come back into the Garden of Eden, and instead of eating out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, just start eating off all the other trees in the garden and the tree of life. Hallelujah. That's Jesus Christ. Let's eat off what Jesus Christ come preaching and teaching. Like he said, in time past, he spoke to us through the prophet. But in this day and time, he's speaking to us through the word of life. That's Jesus Christ, his original word. So how we fulfill this promise of God, redeeming our life under destruction, regaining what we lost in Adam and restoring it back to us? By faith. The Bible says, the just shall live by faith. That's a law in the kingdom. The law of faith. What faith is, boy? Faith, man, is believing to the point where, listen, everything is done. Hey, listen, our time is up on here, and I share with you, and we're going to continue this here, boy, because now that we're in the kingdom, we got to learn the functioning principles of the kingdom, how to live in the kingdom, how to function in the kingdom, so that we can appropriate all those things that spur us into our life. And that seventh law in the kingdom is the law of sowing and reaping. This is how you get everything. This is how you get the fulfillment of God's promise and faith and love and redemption from sin and death and the liberty to choose life and eat out the tree of life and to get everything, man, from the unseen realm into the seen realm. There's a law that governs that and gets there. It's called a law of sowing and reaping. What's that? Whatsoever man sow, that shall he reap. So now, boy, in the kingdom, we got to learn how to operate in those laws. Especially that last one, sowing and reaping, because that's how we get everything back into our life. Well, whatsoever a man sow, that shall he reap. Well, we got to learn how to talk now. We got to learn how to speak God's word. We got to learn how to decree and declare by faith everything that God has done more in and through us, in and through his son, Jesus Christ, to redeem our life and set us back on course toward the destination that he originally set for our life. By, boy, coming back into those laws. In the old covenant, man, you know, after the fall of mankind, then mankind began to operate according to the laws of Moses. Boy, but let me tell you something. In the new covenant, man, listen, there are some new laws. Actually, not new laws. Boy, he redeemed our life so that, boy, listen, the law of Moses could be fulfilled in us and we can get back to the original laws, the law of life, the law of liberty, the law of love, the law of promise, the law of faith, and the law of sowing and reaping. Listen, y'all, we're going to continue this, boy, because now we're going to grow up in the kingdom and learn how to obtain and get and manifest in our life all the blessings that we say God has blessed us with in Genesis chapter 1 when he said he blessed us. Now God wants us to obtain that. But by obtaining that, then we thereby establish his glory in the earth. We're going to learn, boy, how to talk like God wants us to talk, how to sow the word of God into our life, water the word of God into our life, cultivate the word of God. My wife, my contact number, Ogden Dale, the Bell Ministry, Life Fellowship, Daily Coast, 713-372-3776. We can give them a blessing to you and more help to you, helping you understand more of the gospel of the kingdom and live in it. Contact us at 713-870-3776. We look forward to talking to you again. God bless you. Love you. Bye-bye.